The Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Frisch, Judge Gaetis, Judge Klopaki, the Honorable Jennifer L. Frisch presiding.
Good morning. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. Today is February 2nd, 2022. We're here on our third of five cases on our calendar this morning. A210747 Larson versus State of Minnesota. Mr. Solomon, I know you have your video is operational. I know your audio has been tested. The respondent has not filed a brief in this matter and is not appearing at oral argument. So you'll have 15 minutes for your argument. Please just state your name and your client's name before you begin speaking. And you may proceed. We're going to set that clock. There you go. Anytime you're ready, sir.
Thank you. My client is Robert Herman Larson, and I'm sorry, what was it? What else was I supposed to give you, Your Honor?
Your name and your client's name.
And my name is Greg Lewis Solomon. First, I would like to focus on the issue of whether Trooper Vatsas violated Robert Larson's right to a reasonable opportunity to obtain legal advice before deciding whether to submit to chemical testing.
On that issue, I can't find that the trial court ever decided that question. Show me where it did.
It did. Just one moment. Let me get my brief, Your Honor. It was in lines 20 and 21. In the transcript on page 3, it was brought up by attorney Greg Booker. And then in the transcript,
what was brought up? What's the language?
And I'm quoting, and then a failure to vindicate the right to counsel during the implied consent process.
Okay. And what did the court decide about on that question?
The implication of the district.
What do you mean implication? The court didn't address it, did it?
Just a moment.
Well, I apologize for taking up so much of your time to find these items, but it appears to me that the court never addressed that particular issue. And so the question I have, if it was an undecided question, whether or not it's amenable to appellate review.
Just one moment.
And my further concern is that in the motion of at the omnibus hearing, your client's then counsel said that the right to counsel violation was one of five issues to be litigated. But then when it came time to file a written memorandum, only identified, or you did not identify this issue in that, your client's counsel did not identify that issue in the memorandum. And I don't find anything in the court's order that addresses it. So maybe instead of finding all of that now, maybe on rebuttal, you'll have a chance to look all that and you could come back and you don't have to use your time looking for the items right now. That's my suggestion anyway. But
well, I would just briefly cite to then, the memorandum in support of the motion to suppress and dismiss dated February 20, 2020 at pages 3 and 4 and in the undated omnibus order related to the February 6, 2020 hearing at page 3. In the Minnesota Supreme Court in Friedman versus Commissioner of Public Safety 473 Northwest 2D 828 at page 835, the Minnesota Supreme Court decision in 1991 wrote, thus we hold that under the right to counsel clause in Article 1, Section 6 of the Minnesota Constitution, an individual has the right upon request to a reasonable opportunity to obtain legal advice before deciding whether to submit to chemical testing. Close quote. What are the facts that we have here? We have Exhibit 1, the audio recording from the breath test advisory room at the Lincoln County Jail. And Exhibit 1 shows that at the 16 minute 22 second mark in the recording, Robert Larson spoke with someone on the phone, but Robert Larson was not certain that that person was an attorney. Shortly thereafter, Robert Trooper Vatsas testified that he asked Robert Larson if he had finished his, quote, attorney time. And Robert Larson responded that he would like to sit and wait for one of the attorneys to call back. Trooper Vatsas then waited approximately 9 minutes after Robert Larson had said that. And Trooper Vatsas testified that he believed Robert Larson was finishing attempting to contact an attorney. Trooper Vatsas testified that he believed that Robert Larson was finished attempting to contact an attorney because Robert Larson was texting on his personal cell phone. Trooper Vatsas testified that Robert Larson did not, quote, seem interested in contacting any more attorneys, close quote. Trooper Vatsas allowed Robert Larson a total of 23 minutes of attorney time. Trooper Vatsas testified that it was shortly after 4 p.m. that he had stopped Robert Larson's motor vehicle and that it was 5:13 p.m. when he ended Mr. Larson's, quote, attorney time. A couple of comments regarding the above facts. Trooper Vatsas made the assumption that Robert Larson is texting non-attorneys. However, it's very possible that Robert Larson was texting attorneys and requesting that they call him. Regarding Trooper Vatsas's testimony that Robert Larson did not seem interested in contacting any more attorneys, how did Trooper Vatsas know that? Even if Robert Larson's motor vehicle was stopped at exactly 4 p.m., only 1 hour and 13 minutes had elapsed at 5:13 p.m. on November 11th, 2019. There were still 47 minutes left to obtain Robert Larson's breath test on the Data Master machine. Would it have not been reasonable to and lawful to allow more attorney time to Robert Larson so that perhaps an attorney with whom he had left a voicemail could return his call? Robert Larson was not attempting to unreasonably delay the taking of the
breath. Anything in the record about Larson's comments? Does he suggest that he wasn't ready to make a decision, that he was still trying to seek advice of counsel? Anything from Larson?
Yes, he said, well, I would like to wait and see if one of the attorneys that I contacted will call back.
Yeah. So he wasn't trying to call any more people. He was sitting waiting for a response. Is that the extent of it?
He was texting, and it could have been that he was texting attorneys.
Well, it could have been. What did he testify? Did he say he was texting attorneys?
He wasn't asked that question, Your Honor. Assuming, for the sake of argument, that Robert Larson's vehicle was stopped at exactly 4 p.m., should not Trooper Vatsas have stopped Robert Larson's attorney time at 5:35 p.m. so that there was plenty of time to complete the breath test? I think you know what conclusion I'm arguing for. Second, I'll focus on whether Trooper Vatsas substantially violated State versus Scales 518 Northwest 2D587, Minnesota Supreme Court at 1994. And therefore, the Data Master breath test result should have been suppressed.
Okay,
by
now that case, the Scales principle means that it has to be a substantial violation. What about the facts in this case that show that it was a substantial violation?
The Exhibit 1, the audio recording of the breath test process at the Lincoln County Jail was incomplete. Trooper Vatsas testified that approximately the last 2.5 minutes of the process were not recorded. In fact, Exhibit 1 does not include where Trooper Vatsas tells Robert Larson that they are going to move forward with the breath test advisory process.
Mr. Solomon, is there any requirement that does Scales extend to a breath test? Is there any law that you can cite us to that says that that all has to be audio recorded?
Well, I would argue, Your Honor, I don't have a case, but I would argue that this was a custodial interrogation, the breath test advisory process, and therefore, because it's custodial,
Is there any law that says that the breath test advisory is a custodial interrogation?
I would say just the definition of what custodial interrogation is, Your Honor. This was at the law enforcement center, and there are questions being asked of Robert Larson.
And then I guess on a related note...
I'm sorry. He was placed under arrest, wasn't he?
Yes.
Then that's not custodial.
No, it became custodial when he was placed under arrest at the driving scene.
I have another question about the Scales requirement. Typically, when there's a Scales violation, what is being suppressed? I mean, what the Scales case says is that it's the statement that came out of the interrogation. And here you're asking us, I think, to conclude that the breath test results should be suppressed. And again, do you have any authority that would allow us to extend the Scales requirement to breath test results?
I have no cases that say that the breath test results should be suppressed. However, the exclusion of statements made does not fit with this case at all. The statements made by the defendant and by Robert Larson and generally all defendants are largely not incriminating. Therefore, Robert Larson proposes that the remedy for substantial scales violations in driving while impaired cases should be suppression of the breath test results.
It seems to me that argument cuts against your other argument that this was a custodial interrogation. I mean, doesn't an interrogation necessarily require the elicitation of responses that are, you know, reasonably considered to be incriminating?
Well, Your Honor, as I see it, I believe that that this was custodial interrogation. Miranda applied, scales applied, and that because there was a substantial violation of scales, the breath test results should be suppressed. Otherwise, the suppression of non-incriminating statements made by a defendant is a hollow, worthless remedy. There should be some remedy with teeth in it to deter substantial violations by law enforcement. The remedy in the case at bar should be that
time has expired. If you wanted to sum up very briefly.
The remedy in the case at bar should be that the Data Master breath test should be suppressed, and it necessarily follows that Robert Larson's conviction for fourth-degree driving while impaired should be vacated.
Thank you, sir. Anything else from the panel this morning? All right. The matter is submitted, and we will issue an opinion within the statutory time period. And we will stand in recess. Thank you.
Thank you.